Lorraine, you're a former professor at Murray State. How does it feel to return to campus to present?
Well, I'm excited about going back. I still know quite a few people who teach in the program, in the MFA program, and I have a friend, Blas Falconer, who is my co-editor for The Other Latino, who teaches poetry workshops, so I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Is there a particular author or a book that you read when you were younger that inspired you to become an author?
By younger, if you mean childhood, I probably was influenced by fairy tales. I just loved the experience of being transported to an imaginary world outside of my own mundane experiences. I would have to say fairy tales and folk tales were my first influences.
Of your many books, and there are several, is there one that you think back to that has a special place in your heart, or are all of your works, short stories and long-form works, equal in your eyes?
No. I kind of don't believe people who say, I don't have a favorite student, or I don't have a favorite child. I think it changes from time to time, and 1 week this child will be a favorite one, and another week the other one will. So it goes back and forth, but it has been kind of constant with my books, and I think my favorite book is Homicide Survivor's Picnic, the short story collection. That's the book that I feel most connected to. Still.
That was a finalist for the Penn Faulkner Prize in Fiction back in 2010. Is there a thread that connects the various stories together?
Well, I think it's in the title, which is Homicide Survivor's Picnic is a story literally about people who gather after they've lost loved ones to homicide. And I think that's the idea of the book, is people trying to rebuild their lives and put themselves back together, if you will, after a grievous loss, after terrible and tragic loss, trying to reconstruct themselves.
Do you consider yourself more of an architect or a gardener as an author? A lot of people refer to architects as those who already know the end before they write the very first word of a work, and a gardener is someone who more or less figures it out as they go. You plant seeds and you see which ones grow and which ones don't.
That's so interesting. Thank you for that great question. I consider, the way I interpret that question is, do I consider myself more of a storyteller or a creative writer? And I'm definitely a storyteller. I'm much more interested in the arc of the story, the shape of the story. That's not to say that I won't go in interesting directions once I'm there, and I don't always know the ending. I sort of know an arc. I don't know how exactly it will end, but I know the arc. Probably the way an architect knows, okay, this is going to be a bank and not a church. The story is the thing that attracts me. It might be triggered by an image or a phrase that I've overheard, but the story is the thing that I've worked out in my mind and that I'm interested in finding out about.
Being an author, and a successful author at that, is it difficult for you to teach writing? Someone said that great athletes make terrible coaches because a lot of the people they're trying to coach simply aren't as good at it as they are. Is this an issue for you?
Well, that's another great question. I was a middle school teacher for a long time, and I had the chance to teach math, middle school math, and I'm terrible at math. But I turned out to be a very good teacher of math because I was figuring it out as I was helping the students understand it. So that kind of bore out for me there. But also, it wasn't easy for me to become a writer. I had to go through many of the same things that my students went through. And I can help them. I can show them shortcuts. I can show them things that they need to master in order to get to where they want to be as fiction writers. So I think I'm exactly the kind of teacher I wish I had had. I could have saved myself a lot of time and a lot of trouble. But I don't know, my students might have a different opinion.
You've done a lot of work in the area of young adult literature. It hasn't been that long ago, I guess I'm talking pre-Harry Potter, to where people kind of looked down on young adult writing, and now with Harry Potter and the Hunger Games and probably any number of series that I can talk about, young adult literature is very, very hot. What drew you to that style of writing, and how do you feel about it today? Do you feel like it's kind of had its moment in the sun now?
Well, I love young adult literature. These are the first novels, the first chapter books I read were young adult novels, and I grew up on Louisa May Alcott and Judy Blume, and you know, I grew up reading those authors and loving them very, very much. So that I wanted to write in that genre. Also, I was a middle school teacher, as I mentioned, and I taught ESL. And 98% of my students were from Spanish-speaking countries. There was really, at the time I was teaching, no novel that they could really relate to. So I was writing for them. I was writing my book for them. I wanted them to have a book that with characters who are much like they were. So that was my impetus. And I think it's wonderful that young adult literature is really blowing up now. I think it's magnificent. I especially like that they don't, at least in my newspaper, make a distinction on the bestsellers list. So you'll see a bestseller, and it's a young adult novel. I think that's really, really wonderful. And I don't think it's had its day in the sun. I think it's going to continue to get larger and larger. And I don't think only young adults are reading young adult literature.
Among other things, you're an associate editor for the Afro-Hispanic Review. I wonder, are there some exciting Hispanic and Latino writers today that whose work you've read that you feel like they're really about to explode onto the national scene?
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's a different kind of thing than it would be for a mainstream writer. I think so often people will say, and by people I mean publishers, editors, educators even, they will tend to say, well, we've read Sandra Cisneros or we've published Sandra Cisneros, we're done, we don't need to look at that anymore. So I can't really predict, given that impediment, who will blow up. I know the writers that I'm impressed by and that I love to read, and the writers that I consider exciting, but because the market is skewed in such a way that, oh, I've read that, and so I'm done with Latino literature, I can't tell you that these people will, they deserve to be, but it's a different category of literature altogether. But Daniel Chacon is an example of an amazing experimental author who's just hilarious and wonderful to read. Joy Castro, the most elegant prose stylist living today, is another author. I totally love teaching her work, and not just in a Latino literature course, but in a writing course. Students are amazed at what a beautiful stylist she is. And, of course, Sandra Cisneros, Judith Ortiz-Cofer is another. There are many, many, many exciting Latino authors. I'm just sorry they don't get the attention that they would if they weren't in that particular literary ghetto, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Have you decided from which of your works you'll be reading tomorrow?
I will be reading from The Darling, which is my new novel that's just out, came out this fall. And it's a fun book, and I like to read from it because it has moments of humor, and I think those are easier for people to follow and enjoy.
Can you tell me broadly what it's about?
The Darling is a story that the main character is a young woman who's enamored of white male authors, classic authors such as Henry James, D.H. Lawrence, Vladimir Nabokov, Shakespeare. So in each chapter, she's falling in love with these various writers and having them influence her own love life and her own decisions. And this has a two-pronged effect on her. On the one hand, it prevents her from settling for things that don't match the ideals that they articulate in their literature. And on the other hand, she's granting these men authority to tell her how to live as if they are experts in how a young woman should live and love. instead of deciding for herself how to do things. And I love the book because I'm very fascinated right now by cross-dressing. And when I think about these male authors and all of the books that I've chosen are books with female protagonists. So when they write, say, Lolita or Lady Chatterley's Lover or Madame Bovary, Flaubert is another author who's in the book, they're kind of cross-dressing. They're articulating through a female perspective. And this is an idea that I'm playing with in the book. I'm having fun with it. So I love the book, and I'm hoping that it'll make for a good reading.